And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
Good evening and welcome to episode 21 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite review show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me tonight is Chris and Lawrence. Chris, how are you doing, man?
Hey, doing good. How about you guys?
Lawrence, what's up, man?
I'm just swell. How are you?
I'm peachy keen, peachy keen. As I always ask when we start this show, did anybody watch Dark?
No.
Sorry.
Okay, I did briefly. Let me just go over this real quick. Jimmy Havoc beat Marco Stunt. That match was actually kind of okay, which is surprising considering it's Jimmy Havoc.
I've been hearing they've been doing less of the hardcore stuff with him now, and they're doing more the technical British wrestling stuff that he came up through initially before sort of becoming a deathmatch fiend kind of thing. So I guess if they're continuing that portion like they did in last week's Dark, cool.
Yeah.
Give them something that isn't just being staples to people's heads. Cool.
Yeah. Dr. Luther and Melanie Cruz were there for some reason. I don't know why, but
great.
Yeah. After that, Dark Order beat Strong Hearts, Shima and T-Hawk.
And snap.
That match was kind of okay. False Count Anywhere match between Joey Janela and Kip Sabian. Janela gets the win. That match was kind of raucous, actually. I didn't half mind it, I have to be honest.
Good stuff. I guess if they're not doing it at the pay-per-view, this is as good of a place as any to, I guess, blow off the feud, if that's the intent. Cool.
Thankfully they're not taking up a pay-per-view spot on this. But, you know, it actually turned out to be not so bad. And then finally, the last match, I have no idea because I didn't watch it, because you cannot pay me to watch a match with Sean Spears, QT Marshall, and Peter Avalon in it. So, I drive a higher price than that. Sorry, folks. So with that, we go live to KCMO, Kansas City, Missouri, for AEW Dynamite. Episode 21, live from the Silverstein Eyes Center's Arena, your hosts, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur, and we go right in to the main event of the show, which is the 30-minute Iron Man match between Kenny Omega and Billy the Fish, the Bastard Pack. Guys, what'd you think of this?
It was pretty good. I mean, I was talking to my girlfriend a little bit during this match, but I still kind of kept an eye on it, and it was definitely their best match as of today. It was definitely better than their All Out match.
You know, I never actually saw their All Out match because I was out getting food when it happened. I didn't realize it was happening so early in the show, so I never actually saw that.
I guess that's like kind of a theme with their matches, huh?
yeah, it turns out. My honey was watching the match with me too, ironically. So that's let me just say, I thought that the first fall was kind of weak. They made it out to be like the first ever DQ.
No, they that's been done before in Iron Man matches.
No, in AEW.
Oh.
It's the first ever DQ in AEW.
Oh, yeah.
But even so, it was a weak.
Yeah, I mean, it has been done before.
It's kind of like, for a Pac character specifically, it's smart of him to do, because it immediately weakened Omega to take the Black Arrow, which resulted in like the time fall. Well, right. So I got the principle behind it. What I will say though is that doing an Avalanche Brainbuster and have that being a transition spot, that was a little bit of a nuisance, to say the least.
Yeah. Thus is wrestling in 2020, I suppose.
Well, again, everyone, and also everyone doing Poison Frankensteiners at this point. Give me a fucking break. Come on. Like,
slow it down.
Doing it.
Slow it down, grab a hold.
Yeah, but you know what? And of course, you know, when it went to the tie, then they went to sudden death. I was just like, oh, I know exactly what's going to happen here. And lo and behold, it did.
Yeah,
because I have a scenario.
I feel like every Iron Man match the last like 10 years has ended up the same exact way.
You know, I'm going to dispute that because there was an Iron Man match in Black Label Pro at their last show last year with Violence Is Forever against, and oh shit, I can't remember who it was against, but off the top of my head. But it was actually very well done. It was like actually like it ended 10-9 rather than, you
holy
know,
shit.
Oh yeah, like you were talking about DQ losses. Yeah, they racked a bunch of those up.
Oh my god,
it was a good. I have to look it up. I'll let you guys know. I can't remember who what, but it was, you know, on one side was Kevin Koo and Dominic Guarini.
Oh yeah, okay.
Right. It was a tag team Iron Man match, but anyway. Yeah, this was a really good match. It was the best, I guess, you know, Omega versus Billy the Fish match that I've seen. Chris, what did you think of this?
Overall, like I said, really the top rope brainbuster was my only really nuisance. In regards of it, I think that warranted a fall at the very least. But overall, I have to agree with Lawrence. I think this was the best match out of the trilogy that they did, even if the ending was a little bit on the overly done with these Iron Man matches with sudden death and stuff. And by the way, the match that you're talking about, it was Violence Is Forever versus the Workhorseman.
That's
Anthony,
right, the Workhorseman.
Drake and J.D. Drake and Anthony Henry.
Yes, I forgot about. I completely. So my apologies to the Workhorseman. I completely forgot. But
it was flammable. I mean, it had a couple
of
good
matches.
Too.
But it was a great match.
Love those guys.
Mm-hmm. But
and of course,
yeah,
I love Violence Is Forever. You know, Guarini and Koo are top.
And along with that too, I think it was smart of them to put it on the opener, mainly because from a TV standpoint, the first 30 minutes are the least ones in which you're going to have to worry about commercial break hell for the network side of defense. So, yeah, get it out there with minimal interruption, basically, which, lo and behold.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, does it also seem like maybe that this whole Omega and Pac thing was kind of an afterthought when they hotshotted them the tag belts?
Yeah, I figured it was a situation where if they didn't make that particular call, this probably would have been at the pay-per-view. But hey, we get something out of it. And then the aftermath of it is really interesting, too. Depending on what feed you may have been seeing or whether it was picture-in-picture and what have you, Tony Schiavone was bold enough to try to get an interview out of Pac in the aftermath of that match with
Oh
Pac
no, no,
literally
oh, no.
Being...
This was totally on the TNT broadcast.
Yeah,
this was totally
perfect. Because yeah, Pac just basically going, "Are you taking the piss right now?" was just perfect.
Yep.
That's actually somebody actually brought up a really good point about that match, and I didn't even notice it until now I saw this tweet. Jimmy Corderas used to be a referee. He tweeted, like, so Omega fights to beat a 10 count when in AEW there's a 20 count outside the ring.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
Oh my god, I didn't even think about that. That's hilarious. That's a very good point, logic like hole there, like a
okay.
Wow.
So I said I had a scenario.
Oh, what's your scenario?
The scenario is the Bucks are going to beat Omega and Paige. That way Omega can go after whoever's the winner between Mox and Jericho.
Mm.
For Double or Nothing, mark my words.
That sounds like it could happen.
It sounds extremely plausible to me. Anyway, but yeah, so yeah, and again, you know, Pac saying, "Are you taking the piss with me?" Yeah, you could take the boy out of Newcastle. Can't take the Newcastle out of the boy.
Absolutely not. But and then of course, Orange Cassidy from out of nowhere.
Yep. And yeah,
so. and he gets popped, and I mean like a good shot on top of it too, and just, oh boy, if we only knew. Eventually, we would know an hour later, but if we only knew then what this would lead into.
Oh, when that happened, I knew something was going to have to happen. I mean, nothing happens in a vacuum in AEW, it seems. Credit to them, but for that. The next bit was a non-interview with Jake Hager, which, okay, yeah, whatever. which transitioned into the second match of the evening. Six-man tag, Jurassic Express, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, Marco Stunt, against the Inner Circle team of Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz. This was my favorite match of the night, honestly, even more so than the Iron Man match.
It was just a fun sprint between all six guys, and the dynamics were there. Marco was a perfect guy for the heels to get heat on. He can make a good comeback. Jungle Boy has some electric offense. He seems like he's getting better each and every single week, and Luchasaurus is arguably one of the five most over people in this entire roster right now. So,
without a doubt, yeah.
All the elements were there for it, and everybody did their parts, and just a really fun TV match. Would not mind more variations of this sort of stuff going forward.
Lawrence.
This was pretty good. I kind of skimmed through this one a little bit. I got a little distracted during this because I was still talking to my girlfriend. So, I don't really have a whole lot to add about this.
Well, fair enough. The ending came. Darby Allin distracted Sammy Guevara, and Jungle Boy gets the win on him. And everybody goes home happy because, you know, Jurassic Express is really over, and they need to do more with them, especially Luchasaurus. Especially with all these big behemoths coming in, including the just announced today, Lance Archer.
Yeah, big news. I saw the before they actually announced him, the everybody dies thing that they like tweeted out. I was like, oh well, that's got to be him, right?
Ironically, only the second biggest news item regarding New Japan today, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, not just New Japan, though.
Yeah, true that. We're going to sidestep that for right now. So following that, we have another updated recap of Cody Rhodes versus MJF. Oh, God, I just want this feud to end now because it's felt every bit of the 3 or 4 months since Full Gear, you know?
Yeah, I think it's about, I mean, I really enjoyed the cage match last week.
Oh, the cage match was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that was good stuff. I know I wasn't on the show with you guys last week. Well, not you, I guess, Jeff and, Mr. Cubs fan was here, but, I gotta say, Wardlow really impressed the shit out of me. I get really. I know this is like high praise, so I don't want to like go crazy with it. Like, I'm not saying it's actually like a direct comparison, but I get those early kind of Lesnar vibes with him. He's just like a very imposing force in there, throwing guys around and. He looked good, man. I like him.
I tend to agree, except, you know, as I pointed out last week, number one, DDP towers over him, which kind of ruined the effect a little bit.
Yeah, help matters.
Yeah, and I can confirm that was not the TV cameras. I saw it with my own eyes in Hoffman Estates. But number two, it was great that he was throwing Cody around, but he did this on the same show that Jeff Cobb was also debuting, so I think that kind of took away from it. But he did well, I thought. He did do well. So
yeah, yeah. I think he's got a future. I really liked what I saw. That was for a guy. That's a tough spot to be in too. I mean, if you're him, I mean that's a really tough spot. I mean, you're basically asked a lot of your first like television match. I mean, you have to really further one of the bigger angles on the show like that. And I thought he did his part pretty well in doing that for a first time being your first match on the TV. That's hard to do.
And yet somehow he's beaten Jake Hager to being in the ring too.
Oh my God. It's like, I just really just question like why they even signed the guy at this point. Just to stand there.
Because he's JR's boy, that's why.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I'm like, words, Jim Ross.
That is very true, and why did I not think of that? Because, you know, when has politics never, you know, ruled over in wrestling at all?
Moving on, we go to the third match of the night, another tag team match. Best friends, Chuck Taylor, Trent Beretta, with a still kind of a dazed Orange Cassidy, going up against The Butcher and The Blade, which is funny. I saw the poster in March. I think it was March 12th. Every Time I Die will be in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
I will not be attending that, but I'm just pointing out, if you're in the Chicago area, Every Time I Die, featuring Andy Williams of The Butcher and The Blade, will be performing. So.
Well, shit. But, this was a pretty fun little match. I mean, the thing that really stuck out to me was Allie and Orange Cassidy's stare down. Orange Cassidy with funny ears doing suicide dives.
I mean, considering there was a match once at a bar wrestling show where Priscilla Kelly dressed up as Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy dressed up as Priscilla Kelly.
That was wonderful.
It's completely prepped for this, for these sorts of moments right here. Honing the craft and the independence to bring it up to TV. You'll love to see it.
Oh, God.
It was a cute little match, I thought. I didn't mind this.
Yeah, they won with a strong zero. Then after the post match promo was fantastic. oh my God,
this was good.
He's gonna try chance.
Orange Cassidy is actually going to try. And Trent quickly shot that down. It was like, well, no, hold on. He didn't actually say that.
I mean, you never know.
He didn't actually say he may try, he may not try.
Well, you know, Orange Cassidy does need to save himself up for Minoru Suzuki coming up. So.
Oh, yeah. Man, Orange Cassidy has some big freaking matches.
he's like the squirrel girl of AEW.
That's what happens when you're freshly squeezed, baby.
Sunny thumbs up for everybody.
It could be worse. We could be living in an alternate universe where Orange Cassidy is a try-hard heel who goes way too hard in the paint, and he's no longer freshly squeezed. He's just pure concentrate.
Oh, God. Damn.
Wow.
Somehow worse than my joke.
Yeah, and I'm just saying this, if All Elite Wrestling decides to run with this idea 3 years down the line, I want royalties.
You all heard it here first on Boom Goes the Dynamite, episode 21, 226, 2020. Mark it down.
Okay.
Are you marking it down, Lawrence?
I took a mental note.
Put it in your calendar right now. I know you have your phone handy. You can just... Got it into your calendar, phone.
Okay.
The fourth match of the night was a fatal four-way. Women's fatal four-way between Yuka Sakazaki versus Big Swole versus Hikaru Shida versus Shanna. I like all four people in this match.
But this was kind of like a clusterfuck, though, in terms of just like... There was just a little too much going on, I thought.
Yeah. Now, Chris, was this the music that you were talking about?
Yes, that is her regular theme in Tokyo Joshi Pro. So
So
they
why did
finally got it
A
right.
yeah, so why did AEW screw it up the first time?
I have no idea. I legitimately have no idea. They did it twice prior to this time. So maybe they finally figured it out at this point. All the roaches have been settled in. Yeah, anyways.
Okay. So yeah, I thought it was a little, I mean, like it's a fail four-way. Yes, it's gonna be a clusterfuck, but Yuka was very fun in it. But yeah, all four of the women in this were fantastic, I thought.
It like Lawrence said, it was kind of a clusterfuck in terms of just, hey, we've got four people in our division, let's put them together and see what happens. But they mixed it up pretty well with the time that they had to do things. I think there was a little bit of almost botch with Yuka and Shanna there in the middle of it, but Shanna covered for it like really, really well. And the ending still keeping Hikaru Shida properly strong, more than likely as the next one in line after whatever happens in Statlander and Nyla Rose, which is coming up on Saturday as your
Right.
women's championship match, by the way, in case you weren't aware. So
So yeah, no, I thought this was a really good match. So
speaking of Nyla Rose, can we talk about how Chris Jericho continues to be the most confusing like person in sports entertainment?
Okay, am I gonna regret going down this road?
no, he had a really good interview with Nyla and talking to Jericho, actually. I was pleasantly surprised by how everything was handled in that regard. And like Lawrence said, it's just confusing at this point because he'll have fucking,
Coronavirus's fake podcasts.
yeah, exactly. He'll have that, and then he'll have like an interview where he's actually like listening to somebody like Nyla Rose tell their story and just outright being like,
Well,
okay, I'm trying to understand this sort of thing. Just, I don't know.
again, to quote, once again for the second week running, to quote a another podcast on this network, our boy Dave Ryan, considering that Chris Jericho might be 80% consisted of vodka at this point.
Not wrong,
Is
to
he
be
not?
honest.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
The other
Chris
20% is
Irvine,
champagne.
yeah, Chris Irvine needs to just, yeah, Chris Irvine needs to get his shit together. That's all I'm gonna say.
Lord. He's like Joe Rogan Jr. at this point.
You know what? You know what, Lawrence? That probably is the biggest inspiration. Moving on. After that, we have a video promo. Actually, two video promos in a row. The first one was a very, quick one from the Dark Order. Evil Uno, says some threatening things towards SCU, and allegedly the Exalted One is imminent. So so come on, get happy. And then the second video promo was a interview with Jim Ross, a sit-down interview between three of the executive vice presidents, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and Adam Page.
Oh yeah, this is definitely where I fell asleep. I do not remember this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the moral of this entire segment is once again full-on proof that the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are the absolute worst friends that anybody could ever ask for. And Hangman Adam Page is within every right in his book to drop all three of these fuckers by the time that match is done in Revolution. I'm just throwing it out there.
Once again, the question must be asked, how is Adam Page the bad guy in all this?
Oh,
Yeah.
I know. It's just like Dakota Kai. It's like she.
Yeah, it's like
Well, that reference is lost on me, but okay.
basically, it's a similar situation where your friends at every turn betray you and ignore you, and then you're completely surprised that they suddenly flip their shit on you when the time is right.
Yeah, no. I think we've all been there in real life, on both ends in some cases. So yeah, but yeah, I don't know. Again, Again, I could fully buy the fact that it's the Young Bucks that drove Adam Page to a casual drinking problem at this point. Yeah, he has to drink around them to deal with their poor shit.
Yeah. So,
but whatever, you know what? I caught the block from Nick. Oh, wait, no, but he's off Twitter now, isn't he? I forgot.
They're all off Twitter. Oh, excuse me.
Anyway, so now the quote-unquote main event of the show. So, yeah, only four matches tonight.
Yeah, it was very promptly.
Well, because only one of them went till, till 40 minutes of TV time.
Yeah, right.
But, the weigh-in. Now, do we need an actual weigh-in, or this is just an excuse to have a big, go-home show, big schmoz, wasn't it? That's all it was. But somehow, they managed to get Gary Michael Capetta to be part of this.
Oh, hell yeah.
So that was a bit of a shocker. Also a bit of a shocker. Somehow, I guess, since they got away with it with the TNT censors last week, we had more blood.
Yeah.
As Mox headbutted Jericho right between the eyes and busted him open. Dustin Rhodes gets involved and with Jake Hager, and once again the Dippin' Dots makes an appearance on AEW programming.
they're really pushing for that sponsorship, aren't they?
I think they are.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, I just have to reiterate, I know that Dippin' Dots are supposed to be the ice cream of the future, but it's been the ice cream of the future for almost 30 years now. When does the future actually come?
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed.
And also, I have never actually had Dippin' Dots.
They're pretty good.
They're decent.
Yeah.
I can go for that if it's around and it doesn't cost like $8 to get them, which most stadiums like that, that's kind of depressing on it. So it's just like,
Yeah, but isn't it like only like $6 like in a shopping mall though?
Something around like 5 or 6, I would think. A little bit cheaper at the very least.
Yeah, because I mostly see them in shopping malls, not stadiums. Yeah. So. But anyway, Darby Allin, of course, makes an appearance. And Sammy Guevara actually gets a little bit of his own back in this segment, cracking Darby's skateboard over his head.
Yeah, that looked pretty gnarly after Darby was in the end of a flying knee there initially to buckle him down accordingly. So.
And then, The segment ends with Chris Jericho delivering a Death Rider to John Moxley onto the scale.
Mm-hmm. After escaping a Death Rider from Moxley, because Santana, still bearing a grudge from getting his own eye taken out a couple weeks back, low blows Moxley before he can do so.
Yep.
Numbers game, folks.
And there was a Judas effect in there somewhere, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, the last... Two comments about this. Excalibur can go to hell for the punny Doors reference to a Doors song that I don't think he thought anybody was going to catch, but haha, I did.
Mm-hmm.
You would.
Blood in the streets of...
The line from Peace Frog. Yeah.
I only know that because...
Blood in the streets of the city of Chicago. That's right.
God.
And then second of all, honestly, for as much time as this took and as much as it was, the go home schmoz, actually this was the weakest segment on the whole show.
Yeah.
I mean, considering the show itself was so it was consistent throughout the night, I can see how people were looking at it. It's like, this kind of dragged on, but it got to its point eventually. But
yeah, but I've also said before, I really don't like it when they end a show with a segment. I prefer to end with a match,
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. Yeah.
I hear you. Mm-hmm.
So, but with that, that is the end. That's the end of the go home episode 21 of AEW Dynamite. Now, they are running as we speak. By the time I post this, it'll be over. They are doing the recap show the preview show for Revolution, which of course I will be attending on Saturday. Let's go down that card real quick, because they just kind of threw some matches at us tonight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, obviously, you know, the main event being the AEW World Championship, Le Champion Chris Jericho against Jon Moxley. AEW Women's Title match, Nyla Rose defending against Chris Statlander. That's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Cannot wait.
That is going to be good. The AEW World Tag Team Title match between Kenny Omega and Adam Page versus the Young Bucks. I think we all know who's winning this.
Yeah, at this point, I figure it was going to come at a certain point or another. We might as well do this and then get Hangman going to his next destination at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
doing what they got to do.
Yeah, and again, I know that for some reason that Page is going to somehow make a heel turn here, even though he is not the heel in this.
No, not at all.
Well, because this is, you know, the Elite's wacky world. You know. Speaking of which, the blow-off match at last, Cody Rhodes against Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Yeah.
And thank God, because that's been, like I said, that has felt every bit of 3 months of this feud, you know?
Yep.
It just needs to be over, and it's basically what it is.
Added tonight, Billy the Fish against Orange Cassidy.
My God.
What a time to be alive. Dustin Rhodes against the in-ring debut of Jake Hager. I think that will definitely be my bathroom break.
Can't wait for that to be like 4 minutes and with a knee to the dick thing and then just literally piss off everybody who comes into the next match halfway through because this one went by so quickly when they decided to go to the bathroom. So
really, I think
here's hoping to drag this for your sake.
Really, I think they're going to make this 25 minutes just to piss us off.
Well, at the very least, you'll be able to go to the bathroom and come back without missing a beat, then, Jeff.
They also mentioned the Dark Order against SCU.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Darby Allin against Sammy Guevara. I think that one's going to be good.
Yeah. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what opens the show, to be honest.
Yeah, it probably will. That, you know, now you mention it, it probably will. So, I mean, is that, so what's going to make pre-show, I wonder?
Good question.
So, yeah, that is a good question. So, did we miss anything?
From what I can remember from the card, not that I can think of. I'm looking it up again just to make sure that we aren't missing any crazy beats or if anything suddenly got announced in any way, shape, or form. No, we've ran down pretty much everything that is here so far into
that's,
it.
That's been
if they add more things, I guess it could be that Dark Order and SCU might be the, you know, 30-minute, like the half an hour pre-show before the pay-per-view starts.
Yeah.
But beyond that, nothing else has been announced so far.
Well, they say it's going to be an hour pre-show because the show starts at 7 o'clock, Central Time. They mm-hmm. they say that the bell time is 6 p.m. So, I mean, okay. So I'm actually having to have dinner in Chinatown, which is like mere blocks away from the Wintrust Arena. I'm going to have dinner like sometime like in the 4 o'clock hour.
Gotcha.
So we can get in there. So, yeah, so that'll be, yeah. I mean, I'm wondering what else they're going to throw in. Probably some, yeah, it's going to be some weird buy-in thing. Probably another battle royale of some kind. Cause AEW do love their battle royales on the pre-shows. How pumped are you guys for Revolution?
I'm pretty excited myself.
Yeah. It should be a lot of fun on my end of the spectrum, just as Jeff is making his trip to downtown Chicago to see this during C2E2 weekend. I'm actually going to be in Los Angeles over at Grillo Mall with a good friend of Strong Style Story, Jack Heartless, to actually celebrate his birthday there since that happened earlier this week. So the birthday party is going to be at Grillo Mall, and we're going to be watching the show there. So...
Hey, happy birthday, Jack. Happy birthday.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, so yeah, I think it'll be a decent show. I'm going to try to do a pod blast afterwards, but no guarantees considering that this is during C2E2, and I'm going to have a place at the Hyatt Regency bar immediately after the show. So.
Oh, boy.
There we go.
So there's no guarantees there, but I'm going to try. I may do it Sunday morning before I go into the city, though. So who knows? Mm-hmm. I could do that, I guess. But before that, guys, pros and cons. Lawrence.
Tonight, I'd say pros would be, the Iron Man match was pretty darn good. Very enjoyable TV match. I think it elevated Omega a little bit back to kind of where he should be, and I guess in the company standing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously Orange Cassidy was all over, his fingerprints were all over this show. I think that's always a good thing in multiple regards. Cons, I mean, that wasn't a lot. I mean, it was a solid show all around. There wasn't really anything egregious that was like, oh my God, like this was completely terrible. I guess the weigh-in thing was kind of iffy, but
yeah, like I said, I thought the weigh-in was the weakest part of the show. Also, yeah, only four matches I thought was kind of weak. And I also, as much as I like the Iron Man match, I really think it was a bad use of the format. If they were to do that, they may as well have just made it best out of 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah, I see your point now.
With no time limit, honestly.
Yeah, I see what you mean now with that. And that, I think that could have worked pretty much in the same exact context, and minus the added drama of the whole, oh, this goes to a tie and then it's got to go to sudden death. So no, I get what you mean by that. So yeah. Otherwise, though, I'd say at the very least, the only main con that I would say within the show was just the weigh-in dragging as much as it did. And I get the purpose of why they did it, and you know, the end did have its payoff for it, but it could have been a couple minutes there that in a company that, you know, advertises its matches and how they're about the wrestling side of the fence, where you could have a little bit more of that, even if it was just like a quick squash match of some kind, just to establish somebody in the rankings. You know, 5 minutes will get you to that kind of thing. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, there were a lot, considering that they kept hyping the third hour of the unofficial third hour of Dynamite, there were a lot of video recap promos.
Yeah,
on that show.
And basically using it to jerk off Cody and MJF one more time before Revolution is over, because that hasn't been beaten enough over our heads in the past 3 months, would be considered a con. But otherwise, the Iron Man match was great. Six Man was a perfectly awesome flow for a TV match. The tag match with Best Friends being established, you know, as a future threat possibly for a tag team title shot somewhere down the line by beating a team like Butcher and the Blade, plus Orange Cassidy being kind of the star of that first hour, there was a great call around. And I like the
of all people, Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you're over, son. Simple as that.
I'm gonna list as a pro the fact that, I mean, Chuck Taylor's not my favorite wrestler, but he's gonna try was just, oh my God, that was genius,
hilarious.
That was absolute genius. Honestly, and you know what, the Dark Order promo, they got in, they said their piece and got out. I couldn't fault that. You know, so I couldn't fault that one. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it was, overall, this is a really solid show. They've been on a run of really solid shows, which is good. What was it? I forget which episode it was that the one we absolutely just despised, but
basically them screwing up the Statlander Riho match is the one in which nearly broke us a couple of weeks back. So
yeah, that was, but you know, ever since then, they've actually kind of gotten their shit together, like in a big way, which is good, you know, heading into a pay-per-view.
Yeah. Here's hoping that continues, because you have the pay-per-view and then the week after that, I'm actually going to be at Dynamite because it's coming over to Broomfield.
Yeah, so on that note, a brief programming note. Next week's Boom Goes the Dynamite is going to be delayed. It's probably going to be posted on either Friday or Saturday or Sunday, depending on when we actually record it, for, number one, the reason that Chris just mentioned, because he's going to be attending Dynamite in Broomfield, Colorado, which is in the Denver area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit further north, but
yeah. So it's like it's the equivalent of, you know, as Hoffman Estates is to Chicago, Broomfield is to Denver.
Pretty much, actually, because the Hoffman Estates is north, as far as I can remember off the top of my head.
Northwest. Yeah.
Yeah, that Broomfield is pretty much the same way. Northwestern. You're heading towards Boulder at that point in that general direction there. So.
The hometown of Vader.
That's right.
My God. Yep.
Good old rest in peace, Leon White. So, but in addition to that, I'm actually not going to be able to watch Dynamite live because I am I've mentioned this before. I'm finally at last going to see one of my all time favorite bands live. That would the band Wire.
Oh.
So yeah, I know they're older than the Hills, but you know what? I'm going to go see them, and thanks to my honey who surprised me with those tickets. So everybody, get yourself a partner if you can, because sometimes really cool shit happens.
Hell yeah.
So, Chris or Lawrence, any final words?
Nah, I got nothing else, and that's about it.
Yeah, nothing else from me either. Just thanks for listening as per usual. We'll see you during the later portions of next week, around when the next episode for Boom Dynamite goes up, because, boy, we're going to probably have a lot to talk about that, not only with the pay-per-view, but then also the aftermath of it as well.
Right. So. Well, but again, I may do a pod blast post the pay-per-view too, since, you know, I'll be there live, so... So we'll see. If not, then we'll just do an extra bumper sized episode of a Boom Goes the Dynamite next week. So So until then, thanks for listening, and I guess we'll see you next week.